Hi, welcome to Life Recovery Bible with Laura on City of Angels Radio Network. I hope you guys are doing well today. Let's take a couple of deep breaths to begin our time with our Creator. We're going to start with the Serenity Prayer on page 1672 if you have the Life Recovery Bible in front of you. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Taking as Christ did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right, if I surrender to His will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life, and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Excuse me. So let's now turn to the front of the Bible, the Life Recovery Bible, on page A9. And we're going to look at the 12 steps in the corresponding scripture. And these 12 steps have long been of great help to people in recovery. Much of their power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible. The following page lists the 12 steps, and it connects them to corresponding scriptures that support them. This will help readers familiar with the 12 steps to discover the true source of the wisdom of the 12 steps, which is the very Word of God. Step 1. We admitted that we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. And the verse is from Romans. It's Paul, and he writes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And the verses from Philippians, and Paul writes again, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Step 3. We made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. And the verse, the scripture is from Romans, and it's Paul. He writes, Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. Step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This verse is from Lamentations. Let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Step 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And the verse is from James. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And the verse is from James. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up in honor. Step 7. We humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And the verse is from 1 John. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Step 8. We made a search. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And the verse is from Luke. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Step 9. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And the verse is from Matthew. If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar, and someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Step 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And the verse is from 1 Corinthians. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And the verse is from Colossians. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And the verse is from Galatians, and Paul writes, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So I want to stay on page A9 for a little bit, because I think it is so powerful when we remember these steps and then we apply them, the scripture that they came from, to the steps. But I think it's even more powerful when I put this, apply it to myself and read it and pray it and say it in first person. So I want to encourage you to do that on your own or together when we're together doing this meeting. So we're still on A9, and I'm going to review the 12 steps in Scripture again. And so I'm going to read these in a few different ways. This time I'm going to go through the 12 steps and read them in first person. And in present tense. I admit that I am powerless over my problems, that my life is unmanageable. And the verse that goes along with that from Romans, I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Step 2. I believe that a power greater than myself will restore me to sanity. And the scripture is Philippians. God is working in me, giving me the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Step 3. I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And the scripture is from Romans. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead for you to give your bodies to God. So I'm going to try to say that in first person. So, Holy Spirit, give me the grace to give my body to God because of all He has done for me. Let my body be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind God will find acceptable. Step 4. I make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. And the verses from Lamentations. Give me the grace so that I will test and examine my ways. Give me the grace so I turn back to the Lord. Step 5. I admit to God, to myself, and to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. And the verse is from James. God, give me the grace to confess my sins to others and to pray for others so that I may be healed. Step 6. I'm entirely ready to have God remove all my defects of character. And the verse is from James 4. Give me the grace, Lord, to humble myself before you so that you will lift me up in honor. Step 7. I humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. And the verse is from 1 John. If I confess my sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all wickedness. Step 8. I make a list of all the people I harm and become willing to make amends to them all. And the verse is from Luke. I need to do to others as I would like them to do to me. Step 9. I make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. And the verse is from Matthew. If I'm presenting a sacrifice at the altar and someone has something against me, I need to leave my sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then I need to come and offer my sacrifice to God. Step 10. I continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. And the verse is from 1 Corinthians. If I think I'm standing strong, be careful not to fall. Step 11. I seek through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. And the verse is from Colossians. Devote myself, Lord, give me the grace to devote myself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, I try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all my affairs. And the verse is from Galatians. Laura, if another believer is overcome by some sin, I should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And I need to be careful not to fall into the same temptation myself. Reading these in first person and present tense is a prayer. It's just me saying my prayers that I need to say every day. And I'm saying them in line with the 12 steps. So I just feel so much like I've just comprehensively prayed, because I believe in the 12 steps so much. That was a really very powerful for me personally, and I hope maybe you can pray that way on your own. So let's go to A14. A is an apple 14, and that's in the Life Recovery Bible. And these are the 12 gifts of life recovery. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to read them, and then I'm going to go back, and I hope you'll join me in reading them in first person as they apply to ourselves. Because the Bible is alive. It's pertinent. It's right now. Even though it was written 2,000 years ago, it's right now for us. Thank God. Praise you, Jesus. So these are the 12 gifts of life recovery. They're not just outcomes for those of us in recovery, but they're truly gifts from God. These gifts show that recovery doesn't merely provide escape, but recovery points toward the possibility of a new and exceptional life. And I know so many of you out there with me have experienced this. You know, when we numb ourselves through drugs and alcohol, we numb the pain, but we also numb these gifts. We numb the joy. We numb hope. We numb the power, our character, our clarity, security, abundance, wisdom, self-control, freedom, happiness, serenity, and peace. So once we put down the drink and we begin to feel all these feelings, hopefully we start to become aware of all these gifts and they become more clear to us. And the first one is hope. And this is Paul writing to the Romans, and he says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Number two, power. And this is from the Philippians and Timothy, and Paul writes both of them. "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." The third gift is a gift of character. And this is from Galatians, and it's Paul writing again, and he says, "The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things." The fourth gift is a gift of clarity. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity." The fifth gift is the gift of security. And this is Proverbs. "Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm." And this is Paul writing to Romans when he says, "If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else?" The sixth gift is the gift of abundance. And this is Paul writing to the Philippians. "The same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." The seventh gift is the gift of wisdom. And this is Proverbs. "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." And James writes, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." The eighth gift is the gift of self-control. And this is from Romans. "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you." And this is from Galatians. "But the Holy Spirit produces self-control." The ninth gift is a gift of freedom. And this is from Galatians. Paul writes, "Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." Happiness. This is from Psalm 119. "Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found." This is from Proverbs. "The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing." The 11th gift is the gift of serenity. And this is from Romans. "I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." And the 12th gift is the gift of peace. And this is John quoting Jesus. "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Wow, that's so great right now to hear that. So now I'm just going to review the 12 gifts of life recovery. And again, we're on page A14 in the Life Recovery Bible. If you have a newer edition, it's on page 1677, and it's the 12 gifts of life recovery. And I'm going to reread these, but I'm going to say the verses, the scriptural verses now in first person. And I invite you to join along and do the same with me. And the first one was hope. I can rejoice even when I run into problems and trials, for I know that they're helping me develop endurance. And endurance develops my strength of character, and character strengthens my confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not disappoint me, for I know how dearly God loves me, because He has given me the Holy Spirit to fill my heart with His love. Wow. The second gift, just for me and you, is power. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. All that other garbage is from the lower power. God's given me the power of love and self-discipline. The third gift is a gift of character. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in my life. Any of the love I get, the joy I receive, the peace I feel, the patience I exhibit, the kindness I receive or give, any goodness, all the faithfulness, the gentleness, and self-control. All of these things are from God, the Holy Spirit. There is no law to prevent these things from happening. The fourth gift is a gift of clarity. Now I see many things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but I will have clarity more and more as I turn to Christ. The fifth gift is a gift of security. If I fear the Lord, which means if I heed the Lord and what the Bible says, I will be led to life. I will have security and protection from harm. God is for me, which means who could ever be against me? God didn't even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for me. Won't God also give me everything else? Abundance, number 6. The same God who takes care of you will supply all my needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to me in Christ Jesus. Wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. If I need wisdom, I can ask my generous God, and He will give it to me. He will not rebuke me for asking. Number 8, self-control. I am not controlled by my sinful nature. I am controlled by the Spirit if I invite the Spirit of God to live within me. The Holy Spirit produces self-control within me. Freedom. Christ has truly set me free. Now I need to make sure that I stay free. Don't get tied up again in slavery to sin. Number 10, happiness. God, make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. Number 11, serenity. I'm convinced, I know, that nothing will ever separate me from God's love. Neither my death here on earth, neither my life, how I live it, neither angels nor demons, neither my fears for today, nor my worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate me from God's love. And 12, peace. Jesus has left me with a gift of peace of mind and heart. And the peace Jesus gives me is a gift the world cannot give me. So I will not be troubled or afraid. Let's end today in thanksgiving and praise to the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of everything. That is good. Everyone who loves God, everything will work for the good for you and for me. Our Father, you live in heaven, and sacred is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven already. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses, as I forgive those who trespass against me. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all.
Calling all public enemies of the church. Selling your bodies, dealing drugs, dealing merch. No matter what you're doing or where you've been. God's mysterious plans to get us forgiven. Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's God's grace. The shepherd left the 99. Turns out the rebels she went looking for. Yeah.